Well, happy Sabbath. Thank you, Mr. Ekema, for those hymn selections. Curious, what is success to you personally? For most people, the first thing that comes to mind when they're thinking of success, they think of money. You know, the amount of money that we have accumulated in our lives determines the amount of success that we have. And other things that people think about is position, and power, and they think that determines success. I've known people, especially in business, who actually think legacy is the most important thing. You know, what is it, what are people going to think of when I leave this business? You know, what impact did I have on this business? And, you know, presidents think of that as well. What impact do they have on the community and the nation? But we also have other things we think about when it comes to success. It could be family, it could be school, it could be our religion, our work. But what is success to you in any of those areas? And how will you accomplish that success, what you view to be success? And we know that, you know, at the end of our lives as God's people, really that all that matters is being in the kingdom. That's success, is being a part of God's kingdom. But how are we going to do that? What approach are we going to take that will help us to ensure our success regarding our eternal life, the most important thing that you and I treasure? Principles such of the kingdom, our family, work, school, all these things can holistically be applied in our physical and spiritual development. So you may be a young child or a senior citizen or a teenager, stance and priorities. You would rather, most likely like to be successful one way or another. And, you know, we see images of success all around us. And unfortunately, even the image of success that our society portrays, very few people are even to able to attain that utopia of success that society says is successful. You know, money, power, position. So if you start thinking about, you know, what is success to me individually, and how am I going to get there? You start thinking, well, what do I need to do? What should I do to ensure we personally have lasting success in our lives? We don't have a lot of time on this earth, so we've got to make it count. So today I'd like to discuss seven laws you and I can look at to help us to be successful. You can also call these biblical principles. Biblical principles that will help us succeed. You know, reflecting on my life, humbly, I've had a lot of successes in my career and with my family. I'm very thankful for that. I've also, unfortunately, had a lot of failures. And when I look at people, including myself, who have had failures, who have not succeeded one way or another, one of these seven principles were not followed. And these principles are nothing new. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, you know, rolled out these concepts from the Bible, inspired from the Bible, a long time ago, over 50 years ago. But these principles are clearly from God's Word, and I think you'll find that after I share with you some of the scriptures that support the principles that we'll talk about. So the first principle, if you're taking notes, the first principle is to fix the right goal. Very simple. Fix the right goal. You know, I've had the opportunity to be a leader in the company I'm at currently and in prior companies. And I often have the opportunity to help guide and direct employees. You know, what is their career plan? What are they looking to accomplish? How can I help them grow and develop as an employee? And what I've found is way over 90% of employees do not have a career plan. They do not have anything written out as to how they're going to get to where they want to go. Yet when I talk to them, they want to go somewhere, and usually that involves money. They want something. They want something greater, whether it's position, responsibility, or influence. But they don't have anything written down. They haven't thought about it. What is your goal, and how are you going to get there? Think of it this way. Who would you rather manage? Somebody who has a goal and a vision, and they want to share that with you as a manager? Or somebody who has no goal at all and doesn't really know how they're going to get there, but expects success? You know, which person do you think you'd rather invest in? And so, what goals are we setting spiritually as well as physically? Both of these are very much intertwined. And yet, many people feel very entitled to success. but they don't know how they're going to get there. Entitlement and success is an interesting discussion by itself. So the truth is, if we want to succeed in our lives, we have to have a goal. It could be a spiritual goal, where we have an issue with sinning, and we want to, you know, fix that issue, or the tendency to potentially sin, and, you know, we ask God to help us to improve in that space. So it could be our relationship with God. Maybe our prayer life isn't what it should be. Maybe we aren't studying God's word as we should be. And maybe we're not just overcoming whatever that challenge is in our life. These could be goals that we could set in our lives. It could be a goal with our family to improve our relationships. Spend time with our children, our relatives, our friends, physical and spiritual family. So fixing the right goal is a starting point to change the very life we live. You have to have a goal. Please turn to Proverbs 31. Solomon, obviously, I love Solomon, has a lot of wisdom. Proverbs 31, this is speaking of a virtuous wife. Proverbs 31, verse 14, it says, "She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard." So a successful man or woman who's doing these things mentioned in Proverbs is planning something. They have a goal. You don't just get things from afar and magically show up and it's going to be there. You got to plan for that. You don't just buy a field randomly, a property or an investment. You consider it. You plan it. You prepare for it. That's what this scripture is speaking of. Jesus Christ also gave us a clear goal. Let's turn to Matthew 6. This is the ultimate goal I spoke of in the introduction. Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So if we're truly seeking the kingdom of God, we'll be blessed physically and spiritually. That is a promise. This must be one of the top goals on our list. Kingdom of God. Probably write that number one. Solomon said something similar to what Christ said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. He said, "Let us hear the complaining his very life, the existence of man, his own existence." And he said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." It's the number one goal, is to focus on the kingdom and our relationship with God. So this first vital goal is a major step to drive success in our lives, wherever you're at in the cycle of your life. Law number two, is education or preparation. You know, many times we set goals and we have absolutely no idea how we're going to accomplish them. That's part of human nature. So no matter what the goal, we need to understand what is standing in our way. What skills do we need to overcome the challenge? How do we rise to the occasion that we know is right in front of us? And do we know what we don't know? You know, there's a physical and spiritual maturity that we can find with being self-aware. And if you're ignorant about your capabilities and your knowledge, then that's not going to be as powerful as it would be knowing what you don't know. Because then you can change something. You can grow and develop from that. You have something to start with. But simply ignoring, you know, your challenges and ignoring the knowledge that you don't have is simply a poor choice. You know, many times employees want to check the box off. You know, what is the task I can do and prove to you that I can get to this next level? You know, whether it's a senior level position or it's a leadership position, whatever it is, people want to check that box. And the truth is there's no magic behind it. You don't check boxes. If you want to be a leader, then be a leader in your position. Grow and develop as a leader in your position. If you want to be a senior level person, be a senior level person. Set that goal in your career. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, Act like God, one of God's royal family. That's simple. Think about what it takes to be a part of God's royal family, a son or daughter in the family of God. And that's asking for forgiveness, understanding the word of God and following it. It's certainly a good goal to set. But one must educate themselves. One must prepare to do that. And oftentimes it's not a technical acumen that we're looking for in our development process or education process. Oftentimes it's what we call soft skills. You know, are we effective communicator? Are we this acumen? Do we have managerial courage? Do we have strategic agility? Are we self-aware? Do we plan to address our faults? Do we understand them? And are we doing something about them? How do we deal with conflict? That's a very critical thing that we need to deal with in our lives. These things are, yes, apply to business, but they have physical and spiritual implications. You know, God created us in His image. He gave us the ability to obtain greatness as human beings. And your soft skills, or I could rephrase it as your true spiritual skills, the skills that drive your heart. You know, God, Holy Spirit guides us. And the skills that we develop from that is what really makes, that's what makes us who we are. That's what allows us to be successful. So what are you doing to educate yourself in this space? It's an important second goal, is education or preparation. And are you prepared to succeed? 2 Timothy, I'll share with you a few scriptures here along the space of education and preparation. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Proverbs 9 verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser." You know, you can't be too smart. There's always something we can learn. It says, "Teach a just man and he will increase in learning." Proverbs 16 verse 21 says this, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweet of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is a folly." Verse 23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Proverbs 15 verse 22, intermingling law 1 and 2. "Without counsel, plans go awry." You can have a plan, but if you're not seeking counsel and knowledge and wisdom, you know, that plan could go awry. "But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." So we can see in God's word that this law of education and preparation is something we should keep in the forefront of our minds. You can remember Hosea 4 verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And that's the knowledge of the truth, you know, not spiritual perspective. It says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." So we must educate and prepare ourselves to ensure our success. Sometimes that means a degree. Sometimes that means just being diligent and reading a book, especially the Bible. Whatever it is, whatever your plan is, whatever your goals are, if you don't inform yourself and educate yourself and prepare yourself, you will not be prepared to reach those goals. The third law we can find in the good book is good health. You know, God made us to be physical beings requiring ongoing physical and mental maintenance, I'll call it. You know, I've learned the lesson the hard way is, you know, and many of you may be learning, being a physical being isn't easy. And if you're not at your prime, it's more difficult. Whatever it is, whatever the rule or the goal is, it's going to be more difficult if you have health issues. And I'd venture to say all of us have had one or another in our lives. So your ability to succeed is very much based on your ability to follow through with your plan with energy and vigor. So you need the mental and the physical fortitude to stand through any trial, any situation, any adversity, and to make sure that your plan, it comes to fruition, and that you're able to put the right amount of effort into that plan to succeed. And so a good health profile will only further our success. And yeah, that's a physical thing, but also spiritually. The same applies. How is our health from a spiritual perspective? You know, how's our prayer life with God? How's our study life? How are we growing and developing spiritually? In Proverbs 3 verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will be added to you." So it's not just eating good food and exercising. It's also knowing the law, applying it in your life, and God will bless you physically. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 17 says, "Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not drunkenness." There is a time and place to enjoy oneself as a human being. One of those times is the Feast of Tabernacles, where we're told food of a proper time. But a good king knows that proper time, and God's bringing us up as kings. And so we should learn from that example. In 3 John 1 verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." And I can't leave out 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" We don't own ourselves. It's interesting, huh? Verse 20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We have a task to take care of our physical body as well as our spiritual state, our the core of who we are. So we must maintain good health to ensure our success. The fourth law that we can look at to ensure our success is to drive. To drive. You know, half-hearted efforts may carry one a little further, but not far enough. You know, you could start something, but if you don't finish it, you don't accomplish the goal. So one thing of many things I've learned from many of you and my father and my grandfather is to drive. Assess what is you need to do to reach your goal and do it. And maybe you don't have a perfect plan. Maybe you have a good idea, but if you sit on it too long, it's just not going to happen. So sometimes you just have to do it in ambiguity. You don't know all the answers, but you push forward. And oftentimes you'll find you'll get to that goal. So you got to think of what also drives you. The eternal life in God's kingdom, your family, your friends, pursuing your dream job, improving your relationship to God, with God. You know, no matter what we're looking for from a goal perspective, we have to be able to drive towards it. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, you probably all have this one memorized, says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." You know, we all know that we have temporary bodies. Plan of God, thankfully, has something beyond that for us. But when we be in God's kingdom, we got to do it with all our might. We have to drive. We have to be very ambitious. We can't just sit back and just let things happen to us. We have to drive our own lives and control it to the best of our ability. Own the temple that we've been given. You know, you look at many of the examples in the Bible, and many of the good people in the good book drove with all their heart, with all their might to death. And we shouldn't be in an exception. should not at all be an exception to that. One of the Ten Commandments concerning the seventh day Sabbath states this in Exodus 20 verse 9. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. A lot of times people miss that piece of it. So God designed us to work. God designed us to drive towards success. And if we're not pushing ourselves to do so, then we will not maximize our ability to succeed. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 18, if you could turn there, please. Ecclesiastes 18 says, here is what I have seen. You know, the goodness of Solomon. He thinks big picture. Solomon's a big picture person. It says, here's what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. For it is his heritage. It's what God designed us for. It's what God is giving to us as human beings. Verse 19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy and with the joy of his heart. So God's given us the ability to rejoice in the labor, in using the gifts that God has given us. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't have all the same abilities. But we got to use what God has given us to succeed, to drive for success in our lives. So we must be focused. And drive for success. Point number five is resourcefulness. Law number five is resourcefulness. So we know that life is not perfect. There's complications. There's roadblocks. There's obstacles. Unexpected circumstances. There's things that block our path to success, physically and spiritually. And so to be successful in this state, we must be equipped with resourcefulness to solve problems, to overcome obstacles, the straight and narrow path. You can think of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in times past. The premise is to provide these boys and girls the ability to be resourceful. You know, give a little boy or a little girl a pocket knife and a cup, and throw them in the wilderness and see what happens. It's a very similar concept. They have been given the tools and the ability to succeed, to know how to survive in a circumstance such as that. And Jesus Christ spoke of this. Please turn to Matthew 10. We need to know how to manage the situation that we're in. Be dynamic in that, because it will always be different. Jesus Christ mentioned Matthew 10, verse 16. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, like a little boy or a little girl. I'm going to throw you out in the wilderness and you got to figure out how to make this work. It says, therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That is a dynamic statement. We have to be very knowledgeable and resourceful in living this life. It is not just sitting back and letting things happen. It's being resourceful to ensure your success. So we have to have that tool, that resourceful tool to know how to navigate through our lives, one of which I personally am growing and trying to grow and develop. Being wise as we navigate and ensuring our resources are there to ensure our success. Please turn to John 6. John 6. Giving you a lot of scriptures here, because a lot of times when I was growing up, I haven't heard a message like this for a while. I thought it would help me, and hopefully it's helping you. But a lot of times we don't talk about the scriptures that support the laws. So I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. John 6 verse 12, things to contemplate. John 6 verse 12 says, so when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. So this is when Christ gave, you know, multiplied the bread. And it says, so nothing's lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Very simple statement, but Jesus is instructing the disciples not to be wasteful. He could have said, I can make plenty of bread, so go ahead and throw that bread away or just leave it there and let it rot. But he knew that there was a purpose for it and there was a use for it, and he wasn't willing to let that go. He saw the value of it. So ensuring efficient use of our resources, whatever those resources are, time, money, knowledge, family, friends, you don't negate that. You have to take that into account and realize that you have an abundance of resources and we have to be effectively managing them. Not playing a victim, but playing a victor. Being resourceful will drive our success. The sixth law of success is perseverance. You could also call it stick-to-itiveness. You know, there's always a time in our life when we'll feel like a complete failure. And we'll think nothing else can be done. We aren't moving forward as we would like. But don't be tempted to give up, because there's many who do, and that is simply the state they live in their lives. They don't keep pushing it forward. They aren't sticking to what they know is right, whether it's principles or it's the laws. All of those are critical, and we must have the perseverance and stick-to-itiveness to ensure we do not budge. So no matter how difficult a circumstance can be, we can rely on God to push through on a matter or drive something to resolution. You know, where would we be today if God's people did not persevere? What would have happened if Noah said, you know, I'm not going to build this ark. I know it's going to take 80 years or however long it took. I'm kind of giving up and see you later, God. I doubt God would have let him do that, but what if he did? Then he would have drowned just like the rest of mankind and we would not exist today. What if Joseph did not rise above his betrayal when he was in jail? What if that? He just stayed in jail. What if he died in jail? And he didn't help Potiphar, and he didn't have integrity, even though he was a prisoner. What if Jesus Christ didn't sacrifice himself? What if David didn't repent from his sins? You know, what if our parents gave up on us? It was too much effort to try to train us up to live God's way of life or to have the wisdom and knowledge we have today. Many times standing through a trial or a difficulty would result in growth, education, and the building of character, which is what God wants us to do. So whatever your goal is, finding a mate, trying for a child, finishing your education, building a house, overcoming sin, whatever it is, many good things in life require perseverance to achieve and accomplish success. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. You also may have the scripture memorized, at least in heart. It says, do you not know, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. You see people run in this world around us, and it's a perishable crown. It is a physical thing they're trying to obtain. Not that that's always bad. But continuing here, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, we're running a race for brotherhood or sisterhood in the kingdom of God, an eternal life. So perseverance is a physical and spiritual principle that we have to adopt to become successful. The seventh law, which is one of the most overlooked laws and one of the most underappreciated laws, is the most important, having contact with and the guidance and continuous help from God. Having contact with and the guidance and continuous help of God. And so this law is the most critical law of success. You know, if you're lacking in one of these other six laws, this seventh law, as long as you always remember it, will guide you to the other six laws. Because God's word teaches these other six laws. You know, transforming our mind and heart in a way which is similar to the way God thinks, the heart that God has, will ensure our success. It will help us to drive towards a spiritual and physical success. You know, God is the best resource that we have in any circumstance that we're in. And unfortunately, a relationship with God is the very last thing people will think of and apply in their lives. Yet, a relationship and reliance on God is the first thing that will begin to help us to find true and lasting success. If you look at Proverbs 3 verse 5, Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall have love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." So our relationship with God is the most precious foundation of success that we can build in our lives. If you forget in any of these laws, don't forget this one. It's the most important. So are you ready for success? Or do you need to improve your ability to succeed? I think all of us probably have an area of improvement. If you do, if so, I recommend you take this approach serious. Fix the right goal. Have a plan and stick to it. Educate yourself and prepare yourself to fulfill that plan and to meet those goals. Know what you don't know and change. Have good health to the best of your ability. Ensure you have good physical and spiritual health. Drive, no matter what. Don't sit back and let life happen to you. Drive for success. Do what you can with all your might. And resourcefulness. Think about what you need and be resourceful about obtaining it. Perseverance or stick-to-itiveness. Stand through any trial that comes in front of you. Rely on God. Keep focused. And the seventh most important is to have contact and help from God. You know, pray to God. He's our Father. He can give us all things, anything that we need. And if you ask for what you truly need, He will provide. So I urge you to diligently consider your approach in life. Practice these seven laws and will ensure your physical and spiritual success.